You see that psalm we've just sang together? Talks about meditating on all that the Lord has told us to help us through. And we'll see that in particular given to us by example with Isaac today. Turn with me as we read about that in Genesis chapter 24. We'll be reading verses 61 through 63. Keep in view here all that's been happening in Genesis 24. Abraham sends his servant to go and find a wife for Isaac. The servant meets Rebekah at the well, and she meets all the criteria he's looking for, and we see God's providence in bringing her there even before he's done praying to find her. She runs back to the family last week. Laban, her brother, comes out to be involved in the process. They bring him back. The house has been prepared. The parents meet with the servant. They discuss it. They seek Rebekah's will to go, and she says, "I'm willing to go." They all understand they have a part to play in serving Christ's kingdom together, making sacrifices for the greater picture of the story of redemption. But Isaac doesn't know yet whether the mission has been successful. And so as she's on her way, we see him praying that she'd be on her way, although he doesn't even know her name likely yet. And so we turn our attention where the Lord speaks to your hearts today through Genesis 24, verses 61 to 63. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." This is the word of the Lord. Well, you've seen in Genesis that a good amount of what God calls you to do in your faith walk with Him is to wait. Not run ahead of Him. Not try to force things that He hasn't told you to do. Act where you are supposed to act, but often once you have, wait. Certainly the story with Abraham and Sarah, 25 years to wait for Isaac. Anytime they weren't waiting, you see the result. Certainly the story for Isaac. He's waiting here, likely 3 years after his mother's died. He's about 40 now, and yet without a wife of the promise. In the waiting, Abraham grew. He grew because he learned to let things come to him from God. He acted when he was supposed to, and then he waited for God to respond. Throughout the waiting, what do we see of the example of Abraham and his faith? He worships God everywhere. He builds altars unto the Lord in a pagan land and gives a witness. And he calls upon the name of the Lord. He is a praying man. He is a man of prayer. He is a man who talks to his God with whom he walks in this life. You see Abraham have conversations with God in response to what God has revealed to him. All of these revelations of his plan and his promise to fulfill the plan. So while he waits, he must pray to be able to make it through the waiting and the trials. Isaac is his father's son. We see today that Isaac is wisely following his father's footsteps. He's meditating at night, at the end of the day. He's pondering. He's surely pondering who he is as the son of the promise, who he is of the son of the free woman, who he is as the seed of Abraham, through whom the seed of the nation of Israel will come, through whom the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. He's pondering the promises of God. He's pondering the plan of God. And it's in the praying about it while he waits that he sees answers. While he is waiting on his servant's matchmaking mission, while he is praying over his servant's matchmaking mission, while he's praying about it, Isaac's wife arrives. Surely, a lot of his prayer was, will my father's servant return with a wife for me? Lord, I know what you've promised. I know what your plan is. Where's my wife? He brought it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord brought the answer to his prayer even before he was finished. He had hardly finished. Now, although he had likely been praying for many days about this, likely been praying for many months, it worked. Prayer works. God answers prayer. Beloved, God uses and answers your prayers. May you be stirred up to pray more today when you leave together. As we close in prayer, may you trust it's true and real and being used by God even as we speak. May you begin your week today on the Lord's Day, the Resurrection Sabbath celebration. May you go out the rest of the week and commit more time for meditation on the promises of God and see Him answer those prayers, because God uses your prayers and God answers your prayers. So you want to be praying. And while you're praying, look for praying men to follow. Look for praying men to follow. Men who pray. Look for them and follow them. You see, Isaac is the kind of man that you want to be looking for son-in-laws. Isaac is the kind of man you want to be looking for husbands. He has resources, first of all, from honoring his father. Remember the promise of the Ten Commandments, the first one with a promise. Honor your father. You'll get a blessing. Paul highlights that in Ephesians. He's honoring his father. He's about the work of his father. He's not resting on his laurels. He's working hard. And so he has this inheritance, not just of heaven and the kingdoms that will come through him, but even now in this promised land, during his sojourn, that is his father's wandering with the Lord, he is getting rich. And he's tending to those things. We see also he's the kind of son-in-law and husband that you want because he is his father's son spiritually. His father called upon the name of the Lord. His father still walks with God in a foreign land. His father waits on the Lord. And because his father governs his whole family life and his whole nation that is coming out of him, even as we speak, his son follows his lead and becomes that kind of man that his father is. Remember that the letters, the epistles to the reader of our confession of faith say that the children who are not behaving and acting poorly, it is because of their parents. Because they're not raising them the way they should. Now, this is not to deny that everyone that a covenant family has is necessarily going to turn out to be elect. And if they're reprobate, they'll eventually show signs of it, usually. But generally speaking, how we raise our children is how they will become. And we see that in Genesis 19. Remember, turn back to Genesis 18, verse 19. God is about to destroy Sodom. The angel's there, God is there, and he says, should I reveal what I'm about to do to Abraham? And then he says after that, in verse 19, for I know, God speaking of Abraham, I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Notice that. God uses prayer. He also uses obedience. Abraham, he says, I know Abraham will be the kind of man that raises his family and his household according to my ways. And therefore, the promise I gave him will come true. You see, God uses means, and he blesses those who bless and honor him. Yes, it's because he's begun the good work that he will finish in you. But the process and the means is that you raise your family for the Lord and not against him. And we see that in our text. Isaac is his father's son. Back to chapter 24. What else would we see about this kind of man that you want to be looking for a son-in-law and for a husband? We see that Isaac is kind to women. in verse 65 that we'll look at more closely next week, we see, verse 65, he walks to meet her. We will see that next week, but she says, who is this that's walking toward us as they're riding in on the caravan of camels? Who is this walking to meet us? You see, he approaches her to welcome her. He knows what's going on. He doesn't sit there high and lofty, you come to me, I'm the man. He goes to her and he greets her like a proper gentleman. He's kind to women. We also see in verse 67 that we'll look more next week, he is sorrowing after the loss of his mother, who's probably been gone 3 years. Clearly he was close to her, and he's still sad and grieving. But he finds his comfort in his new wife, it says, and it says that he loves her. That's the kind of man that you want. He's sensitive. He cares for women, and he ministers to them. Verses 62 and 63. Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camel were coming. What do we see here as well about Isaac to be looking for? We see that he spends his free time with the Lord. Special time with the Lord. We see that he talks with God after he's been working all day. We see that he'll likely be a godly man who will leave his family in family worship at the end of a tiring and busy day. He'll make it a priority. He meditates on the Word. He's praying. He's surely praying for his wife. He's praying for success for his servant who's probably been gone a long time. Remember the distance and remember the lack of modern conveniences for travel. He's praying. He's pondering about the promises and the plan of God that has been revealed. He knows he's the one to carry on the covenant seed and all that that represents all the way to Christ. It's heavy on his heart and he's lifting it up to the Lord. And he's praying for the right woman. He has not gone out and tried to find women of the land while he's getting tired of waiting. He's waiting. He's 40 years old and he's waiting for the right woman and he's praying for her. Pastor Sinclair Ferguson talks about how his pastor, I believe in Ireland, if not Scotland, perhaps Scotland, he talks about how his pastor would be looking for the next elders and in particularly the next pastors in his congregation. How would he identify future pastors with the young men in his midst? He'd listen. Surely he listened to their words and their activity, observed their activity, but what particularly did he listen for? He listened for how they prayed. And keep in mind, Jesus says long prayers are not necessarily good prayers, but how he prays. What he prays. That's how he looked for the next generation of pastors. What was on their heart? Was it Christ? And what came out of their mouth? Was it Christ? That's what he looked for. So you should be looking for such men, beloved. Look for men like Isaac. And remember from last week's message, I'm talking to the family, not just to the individuals. Be looking together for such men. Men who will love their wives. Men who will love their children. Spiritual men. Mighty, godly, spiritual men. Who will lead their families in life. Who will lead their families in worship. Who will lead their families in godliness and not leave it up to them to figure it out. Look for men like that. Men who show up. Men who stay. That's what you get in a man like Isaac, who's willing to stop and meditate. Men who are thoughtful. Men who are hard working. Anthony Salvaggio shares in his book what the Bible teaches about marriage. This is one of the books I require for our premarital counseling. He has some very helpful things at the beginning of the book about looking for the right person to court. Notice, not date. Here's what to be looking for in a man. A man who has spiritual knowledge, spiritual maturity, and a spiritual desire to be a spiritual leader of a home. You look for a man. A man who treats women with consideration, who treats women with appreciation, who treats women with respect. You look for a man who exhibits the ability to provide for your temporal needs. A man who will work hard and bring bread home to the table. You look for a man. A man who understands the importance of self-sacrificial love. I speak to you young men in particular, you need to be these kinds of men. You need to grow into this kind of manhood now. And women who have settled for boys with worldly macho qualities rather than wait for men with biblical manly qualities will say amen. This is the list to be looking for. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Men who love Jesus, men who model Jesus, men who, like Jesus, love their wives as Christ did the church, who loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy, to lift her up as beautiful without any blemish, physical or spiritual, emotional. That's the men you are to be. And that's the men you are to look for. You are to look for these kinds of men for your elders and for your deacons. That's what 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 tell us. We looked at that over a year ago in Titus. Look towards your elders for examples of the kind of men to be looking for. And if you've had a father who has not been a good example to you, look to your elders. And I don't mean to say that the elders, speaking of myself included, are perfect examples. But look for a semblance of Christ in men who have been called to the ministry because they have exhibited the qualities that an elder is supposed to have. Loving their wives. Leading their families in godliness and holiness. Look for that. Because we will need new elders as the generations pass. Be looking for them now and be listening to their prayers. And as you do, be the kind of people yourself who talk with God about everything and often. Isaac had a lot on his mind. He had the seriousness of the situation before him. And he had the need of a wife so that he could fulfill the promise and the plan of being the next generation of the seed from which all nations of the earth, I mean, talk about pressure. All nations of the earth would be blessed through his father, next through him. Not Ishmael, but him. He's got that on his mind. He's got the sadness of having lost his mother. He has no family with him except his father. And he's getting older. And he's going to marry again soon. He's on his own. Yes, there's the household of the servants, but not the same thing as family. Will he have a wife? Where is the servant? And will he be able to do this? Will he be ready? And so he meditates at the end of the day. Likely he's working, taking care of the flocks and the herds and tending to them. And it's on his mind. And so rather than try to put it out of his mind with other distractions, he stops at the end of the day and he prays. He brings it to the Lord to be sustained in waiting, to be strengthened in meditation on the promises and on the plan. He had the same struggle you do, beloved. You know the promises. You know the plan. And you have to wait on it. And you have to believe it's true. And you have to wait to see it fulfilled. follow his example and pray about it so that you remind yourself, you internalize it, and you live by it. This word, to meditate, it means to muse pensively. It means to think deliberately and talk with God. And even it has kind of in view talking with yourself. Talking. We see Samuel come out later because his mother was praying. Eli first thought she was drunk. No, she's praying. And out of this, the Lord answers and gives his son, the next incredible prophet and judge of Israel. Thinking, musing pensively about who we are as the covenant people and the covenant promises and plan we have. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119, verse 15. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 104, verse 34. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Psalm 143, verse 5. You need to talk to people, don't you? To feel connected. The Lord made us social. You can go to the zoo and see many of the animals are social. They need to touch. They need to be close. They communicate in their animal behaviors. Without souls, we have souls so much more. Are we made in God's image as man and woman, as people, as community? God saves people into a community, never individually. And you know what it's like when you really haven't had a chance to talk to your good friends and family, you've been too busy, and you feel empty and you feel spent. What helps so much, even those of us who are more introverts, talking with someone who knows us, talking about what's going on in our life, seeking wisdom and guidance, seeking advice and support. And afterwards, what do you find yourself saying? Oh, I wish I would have talked with you sooner. We've got to get together more often and talk. And it's just not the same through the electronic opportunities of doing that. Face to face. Soul bearing soul to soul. It's the same thing with prayer. Jesus prayed at night, and he prayed at day for his own strength. You see, he made time to get alone in solitude and to be with the Father on the mountain often, after he had very, very busy days. He fellowshipped with the Father for his strength. Beloved, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who knew no sin and was just as much very God as he was very man, if he needed to pray, if he needed special quiet time with the Lord to refresh and strengthen, so do you. Much more so. Make special time to pray with God. If you don't make special time, just as you need to make time to talk with people, it won't happen. Schedule it. That's one of the things we've been talking about in our family visitations. A number of you have said, you know what made the difference? We started to schedule it, just like we schedule exercise, so that it happens. We start to hang it on the frame of our regular, predictable activities, like dinner, or waking up, or going to bed. And it's made a difference. If you don't make special time, how else will you think deeply of heaven? How else will you have meaningful time with God and his Word? Isaac made time to pray at the end of the day. Beloved, you've got to avoid digital distractions. Turn them off so you can pray. People can wait. I can wait. You can call them back. Keep your texting off sometimes. Keep your computers off. Keep the radio and the television off. Go for a walk outside and pray. You see, you've got to also avoid recreation simply for recreation's sake that will often choke out your meditation. Christianity is a thinking man's religion. It's a thinking man's religion. For God saves by truth, and God sanctifies in the truth. Doctrine. Christianity is entirely about doctrine. Presuppositional truth. What you believe based on what God says to you. And if you won't give yourself to His Word in meditation, do not be surprised when you look as foolish as every other religion that's out there. Because you've got to stop, and you've got to meditate, and you've got to think about what God has told you. Like Isaac, lift up your eyes to the hills and the stars in the solitude of a wide open space. Go for a walk and stop and talk. Get out of the house if you have to. Or get into your prayer closet. But make sure you get your personal support. Start your day asking for God to provide for you. End your day looking back and seeing how God provided for you. And thank Him. It doesn't have to be long, but it should be regular. God uses your prayers to sustain you while you are waiting for Him to guide and provide. And He does. And He uses your prayer to do it. Be assured, beloved. Be assured. Know for certain that your prayers make a difference. That's a big reason we don't pray in our study of the theology of prayer with Dr. Spear's book last year. One of the big reasons we don't pray is we don't think it makes any difference. We need to believe it makes a difference. And then we'll pray. Look at the end of verse 63. He's praying. And then he lifts up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. You see, Isaac ends his prayer, and there is the answer to his prayer. Riding in on the caravan from a faraway country, it must have seemed like a miracle. He's just like the servant at the well. The servant at the well is praying, and before he ends his prayer, he emphasizes that as he retells the story to her parents. Before he's even done praying, here comes Rebecca. She was there. Likely, she was already on her way. God's already going to do something with you. He just wants you to pray about it so you see it. And He uses your prayer as the means to make that happen. Verse 61, she's already riding upon the camels before He begins His prayer. How do God's elect come to Him in time? We know that it is by effectual calling and regeneration. The Spirit chooses whom God has loved from all eternity, and He calls them out of darkness into light. But does He do that without human means? The preaching of the gospel, the bringing of the message of the Bible into people's lives is how the Spirit uses that. Now often, we go out to the open air, or even here, we can sometimes leave feeling, I don't know if anything happened. But it does. God uses the preaching of the gospel to bring people from death to life. And God similarly uses your prayers. He really does. A lot of the time, He doesn't let you necessarily see how He's using it. But be assured today that He is. To motivate you to be praying. God uses your prayers, just as the preaching of the gospel, as His means to His ends and to your ends. And He wants you to be praying so you see this, so you stay with Him, so that you stay close to the side of your shepherd, so that you recognize providence when it happens, because you've been praying so that you see it, so that you're blessed when you see it. Consider this, Isaac, if he hadn't been praying at the end of the day, oh, he could have gone to the tent to eat. He could have gone to bed because he's depressed. He could have gone to the bottle. He could have gone to all kinds of things to distract his mind from what's on it. Instead, he brings it to the Lord in prayer. And the fact that he's there praying is the way that he ends up being there to see the answer of his prayer arriving. She would have arrived anyways, but he gets to see it. And he gets to go greet her. And he gets to celebrate. I was just praying, and here you are. Rebecca comes. As Isaac prayed, God granted him the joy of seeing that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 16. You see, just as quantity breeds quality, so frequency builds fervency. You pray more, you will want to pray more. You read the Word and pray off it, you'll want to read and pray more off of it. You don't, and you won't. It's that simple. And this is not likely Isaac's first time being there in the evening, being outdoor meditating. The journey would have not happened quickly. Remember the servant's concern last week to get back quickly to his master? Isaac's likely been waiting, wondering, has he gotten lost? Will he not come back without a wife? You see, what you see in the prayer today is not that his prayer was necessarily answered instantaneously, but rather he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. This was Isaac's lifestyle. This was his way of living that led to this day where his prayer would finally be answered in full. He was musing about God's promises and God's plan, waiting to see God answer it with the next step. Remember, beloved, he is your example of prayer. God has already begun the conversation with you. He has already spoken to you through his word. He waits for your response. He waits for you to talk back. Talk with him. He has spoken, and he's listening. Pray. Seriously seek God out in his word while you wait. Watch him while he works all things out for your good. Praise him when he shows you the answers. He works through your prayers. And he works through your prayers outside of you, but he also works through your prayers within you. As you pray, he works in you. He bears spiritual fruit inside and outside. Thomas Brooks says, the most praying souls are the most assured souls. Someone else has said in recent readings, the people who pray a lot know what we're talking about, simply because they pray a lot. John Owen writes, he who prays as he ought will endeavor to live as he prays. Beloved, if you pray more and find your souls assured more, and if you pray more and find yourself therefore living more holy lives, are these not in fact the best reasons to pray? Knowing that God uses and answers your prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.